I'd like to invite you over to the book of Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 reads this way. It says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. And Lord, we've come to worship you. And so, Lord, we ask for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to guide us, that we might hear from you. Lord, that you would be highly exalted in our hearts and in our minds, in our lives, and that you would draw all men to yourself, that we might be the witnesses you've called us to be to the salvation of lost souls, Lord, and that they might be discipled here at Northwood Baptist Church, that they would follow you in scriptural baptism, and then, Lord, be fed by your word and be sent out, Lord, to their everyday lives to testify of your grace and mercy. And Lord, if anyone's here that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may you speak to them even today, Lord, that they might enjoy what you've given to every believer. Bless your word, Lord. May you be glorified, and may our lives be drawn closer to you and to one another. And we'll praise and thank you, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is in our text, simply removed from him that called you. Now, I want to remind you here, as we consider our text here from the book of Galatians, these are the believers that are at Galatia. Again, I want to say that these are believers that know the grace of God in salvation and now have removed themselves away from the grace of God. And this is important because God wants us to be aware that it can happen in our lives as well. Now, I am convinced that every believer that Paul is writing to, hear me clearly on this, loves the Lord. But still, even in their love, they remove themselves from the grace of God. Now, let's back up here a little bit. And you remember when the Lord Jesus Christ asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And they said, well, some say you're Jeremiah, or some say you're one of the prophets. And then, but the Lord said, who do you say that I am? And Peter chimed in right away and said, thou art the Son of God, right? The Christ, thou art the Son of God. And the Lord said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And that would have been well and good if it would have stopped right there. And actually, really, it was good that it really didn't stop right there. And then the Lord began to tell them, the disciples, the believers, those who knew the grace of God, began to tell them that he was going to go to the cross and die. And Peter took him and said, far be it from thee, Lord. Oh, that shall never be. And then the Lord paid him a compliment, didn't he? He said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of who? Men. Do you know, with the best of intentions, we can thwart or remove ourselves from the grace of God that enables us to hear from him? Saved child of God, we love him. That will never change because of the grace of God. But we can misunderstand important truths. So this morning, I want to look at four truths that will keep us from being removed from him that called us into his grace. And by the way, listen, in this order, hear me clearly. God wants our life to be empowered by his grace. Do you believe that this morning? All right, that's about four of us this morning. All right, listen. God wants your life and mine as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants our life to be empowered by his grace. And by the way, listen, to glorify his name. He wants to fill our cup. And I've told you this before. Sometimes we think, oh, he just wants to fill it more than halfway. We'll even say to the top. No, he wants it to overflow. The filling of the grace of God in your life and mine to the top is for us. Every time, I'll remind you, Moses did something by the grace and power of God. It was, as well as it was for all the other people, it was building Moses' faith as well. And so when God works, by the way, every time Paul did something for the Lord, he worshiped God. It was for the blessing of the lost, it was for the blessing of the believers, but it was confirming his faith as well. God wants you and I to be founded on the rock of our salvation. And by the way, he wants it to be strengthened. And because he's an infinite God, praise the Lord, there should be no end to our experience with God. When we get to stand before him as a saved child of God, there will be no end to the presence of God. It will be a constant source of revelation of who he is, and we will worship and be in awe at the very presence of God. When we stand before God, it will be like nothing we have ever experienced. That's going to be something. And God wants to give us a taste of that on this side of eternity as well. So God wants your life and mine to be empowered by his grace to glorify his name in this order. Then he wants to draw our hearts even closer to him. And then, of course, he wants to use you and I to win the lost to the Lord Jesus Christ. But in that order, don't go out there and win people for the Lord without our lives being empowered. What are they going to see? Nothing. They won't see. Listen, do you think people can see that I'm a saved child of God? Not without the grace of God. And God wants the grace of God to be flowing. If I am not experiencing the grace of God in my life, truly, I have really not much to give. So God wants your life and mine filled with his grace, flowing with his Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit. And then people will say, there's something different. And we'll be able to say, like Peter did, why do you look at us? It's not us. It's Jesus. Amen. That changed my life. It's the power of Christ that gives me the right understanding and the right perspective of what life is all about and the life to come. And then we can win the lost to the Lord. All right, ready? Four thoughts, four truths this morning. Our position in Christ, the price paid, called into grace, and then the servant of Christ. These are four truths that I'm convinced, listen, will attract your life and mine to draw closer to the Lord and will be attractive to the lost when they see that. They'll say, oh, listen, there's something different about them, and that difference needs to be the Lord Jesus Christ. So notice our position in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 1 with me. He says, Paul, an apostle, and I love this, ready? Not of who? He didn't call himself. Amen? He's not doing this all by himself. He says, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. So he's saying his position is because of the grace of God and the power of God. Now, we're not called apostles, but we are called children of God. Pray tell, how? How? Of men? Of man? Or by the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father and the power of the Holy Spirit? That's how we're called, or it's no calling at all. It'll be a powerless call. So Paul is saying, hey, listen, what God has given to me was not of man. I didn't do it myself. I didn't say, hey, I was walking down the road. I was riding down the road of Damascus. I said, you know what? I'm just going to do a 180 in my life, and I'm just going to serve who I've been persecuting. You would have never gotten Paul. If you would have told Paul that he was going to be not just a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, but a servant and apostle the day before, he just said, something's the matter with you. I'm in hot pursuit against this way, that way, the way, and all the people that are in it. And then all of a sudden, God got his attention. You know why? Because it wasn't of man, and it wasn't because of men. Question, why do you serve the Lord Jesus Christ? If it's of men or of man, then it's going to be short-lived. But if it's because of the Lord Jesus Christ and the grace of God and the love of the Father and the power of the Holy Spirit, well, my goodness, we are unstoppable. But in the midst of that, we can make a mistake. We can veer away and be removed from him that called us into his grace. We could take on the strength of our flesh. And the reason being is because that's really the only thing that we know. Fathom this thought. Ready? I got saved at 24 years of age. When I got saved, was I spiritually speaking, was I an adult or a babe in Christ? All right, I was a babe in Christ, 24 years old. The new man was just born again. True? How old was the old man? Remember, I told you I got saved at 24. How old was the old man? It's 24 years old. So what was really more natural for me? What was I more accustomed to, the old man or the new man? The old man. So listen, the Lord tells us in his word that we're to put off the old man and we're to put on the new man. Is that true? How many of you ever had a favorite pair of shoes that were so comfortable that you did not want to part with them? You ever have a pair of shoes like that? You just wish they'd have last. They were the best pair of shoes, whatever they were. And then now you're looking, look, they've got to give up the ghost, you know, because they're really getting holy. They're not really. And so you got to get on. You got a new pair of shoes and you're looking at them. But, you know, there's a problem with those new shoes. They're not broken in and they're not comfortable. And so listen. But they will be. And likewise, the new man, it's uncomfortable. It's not what we're used to. And God says, you got to put off the old ones to put on the new ones. And when you put off the old way of thinking and look to the Word of God for truth and guidance, you're going to see that the new man, is going to be a whole lot better than the old man could ever have been. And by the way, listen, there's a process there. And people don't realize that there's a battle there. That's why, listen, it doesn't happen automatically. That's why you find all this advice in the New Testament that don't serve the Lord in the strength of the flesh. Don't walk in the fruits of the flesh. Look to the fruit of the Spirit. That's why the Lord said, abide in me and I in you. He was talking to believers. Why? Because without me, you're not going to do anything. You need to be completely dependent upon me. Now, let me just tell you what we as preachers err in. Here's what we do. I've done it. I didn't see it. Peter did it. I'm in good company. All right? So here it is. Ready? Praise God, you don't have to do a single thing to receive the Lord as your Savior. The preachers that are preaching the truth, they do that, right? Because that's the Word of God. Now that you got saved, let me give you the list of what you got to do and what you have to not do. Let me give you that list, and God says, oh no. Oh no. Because without Him, we can't do any of it. But with Christ, we can do how much? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And yet, listen, Peter had a hard time with that. Truth is, every believer has a hard time with it because the spiritual realm, whatever age you were that you got saved, was brand new. And you don't automatically get it because if you did, there wouldn't have been all the advice to refrain from leaning to your own understanding. There wouldn't be all the reminders that the believer ought to look to the Lord and His wisdom and not their own. There wouldn't be all the advice throughout the whole Word of God. God has to keep coming to us and reminding us and giving us more of a revelation that we need to be careful that we don't act in our own strength. Moses was a meek man and mighty. And you remember when the Lord told him to speak to the rock the second time? Whoops. Whoops. What happened? He leaned to the flesh, didn't he? And my goodness, Listen, 10 plagues that God, you know, used him to deliver, the parting of the sea, the 40 years in the wilderness, the very presence and Shekinah glory on him, and Moses messed up? Yeah. Do you know God knows our frailty? And so he says, be careful. Listen, don't think. Listen, the gospel to the saved child of God is the grace of God and the power of God in us. And that ought to blow us away. Listen, hear clearly. The grace and power of God is the hope of glory in you. Is that amazing? And it's not just a one-time event at your salvation. It ought to be a daily event. A daily event, because if you forget about that, you know what we're going to do? We're going to smite the rock. But I meant right. Hey, did Moses mean right when he did that? Because he was put out with the stiff-necked Israelites. Well, we can be pretty stiff-necked as well, unfortunately. And so we need the Lord. So he said, our position in Christ is not of man, neither of men, but it's of the Lord Jesus Christ. So notice what he says here in verse 2. And by the way, Paul already knows their problem, and I want you to see how he addresses them. And notice verse 2, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. He's writing this letter. He's saying, this is to you. Ready? Verse 3, grace be to you and peace from your own hearts and minds, from the world, from your effort. No. Grace and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he reminds us right here, this is the price that's paid. This is the second thought. Who gave himself for our sins. Go back to that place. How was that done? By the grace of God. Isn't that good? We are so good to know the grace of God for our salvation and then forget him for the rest. Thank you, God. I got it from here. Best way I could illustrate it, you know, is taking an airplane ride, a passenger airliner. What do they fly at about 35, 38,000 feet, traveling about 500 miles an hour? Spiritually speaking, that'd be like you and I in the airplane. Okay, God, I've got it from here. Let me step out now. You know where we're going? We're going down. And that's what happens to everybody that forgets about the Lord and how much we need him on a daily basis. Listen, do you know the devil is waiting as a roaring lion? Do you know he is waiting to discourage you and I from the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know the world is not a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me say that again. The world is not a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot expect to be a friend of the world and to be the friend of God. You're going to love one and hate the other. Now, here's the whole idea. I hate the world in this sense. It's because it's trying to take me away from the love of God. I do not hate lost souls that are in the world because Christ loved them and died for them as he did for me. And I want them, and God wants them, to have the very same thing that I have and that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I don't hate the people of the world. It's the world system. You know why? Because the devil is the prince and power of the air of this world system. So listen, the devil wants to defeat me. The world wants to defeat me. And you know who else wants to defeat me? Those old pair of shoes. That are so comfortable. They're so, listen, those are so, now don't admit this. Ready? How many of you secretly knew you should have got rid of those shoes that were so comfortable and still kept them? You started the new ones, but just in case, amen? We've got a fallback. God does not want us to have a fallback in ourselves, in the flesh. Wants us to get rid of that. But remember the price that was paid. Now watch this. Look at this. This is very important. Verse 4. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Did you see that? I want you to zero in on one word there that might say, oh, this is why I fail. This is why I fail. Ready? Verse 4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us? Might? Maybe so? No. That's what happens when we lean to our own understanding. In the Greek, this word here, might, is a present infinitive, which means to be able to. Now follow this, ready? I put air in my car tire that I might drive to the store. What that means is I put air in my tire that I might have the ability to drive to the store. That's what the word might means there in the Greek. So when he says, let's read it like this, exactly how it means. Who gave himself for our sins that he would enable us to be delivered from this present evil world. He gives the ability. He gives the ability. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he wants to do something, can he do it? Absolutely. Is there anything that would keep him from doing it? Nothing. Wait a minute. Can you keep him from doing it? No. No. But you have to have faith, or we would say trust, that he is able. Right? Is he able to deliver you? Are you too much for God? Oh, he can speak the world into existence. He can speak creation, all of it involved. He can create all these complicated cells and all the way, you know, the way that the body works. Or you certainly don't believe that accident, do you? You know, and has an accident ever created anything worth having, you know, or an explosion? Let's explode something and make something intricate. No, it doesn't work that way. No, God, when he spoke things into being, had a purpose for everything. Did he not? Amen. Even you and I? A purpose for us? Amen. To the glory of the Father? So now what am I going to believe? What I think? Oh, that's leaning to my own understanding. Or to what God has said. Now the world will make fun of you for believing what God has said. There's going to be a day that's going to be highly regretted. I will tell you, it's already today. I will tell you there are those that they think, now this is not popular, all right, but this is the truth. There are those that are living, that they think they're living, they take the word gay and they say it means happy, right? Or it used to mean happy, now they've redefined that. But I will tell you that a lot of people that are living in that lifestyle are not happy. They're not happy. They're living self-destructive lives. And if you would find those that have come out of that lifestyle, they would tell you, I was on a crash course collision with death. I was destroying my life. Just as you would anybody that would come out from anything that was destroying their lives, that believe they're setting themselves free. Or that they're, don't tell me how to live. Nobody's telling you how to live. You have the freedom to choose that way. But don't make me say that that's the right way to live. Because that's your opinion and you're not the arbiter of truth. The Creator God is. And I want to preach the truth and not what you think. Because they are destroying lives. I mean, I think it's a crying shame for two adults to get together and convince a young child that they ought to change who they are with drugs and with surgeries at a young age before the age of 12. I think that's a big mistake. And I think what's going to happen is that poor child is going to come up with a lot more problems if they go through with that and regret what they've done. And more times than... Listen, I'm not trying to confuse people. And I'm not trying, I'm declaring a truth and I'm saying, hey, I'm telling you what God is saying. You make the choice. Right. There's nothing wrong with that. And listen, if people get upset with the Lord Jesus Christ and the freedom that he's truly giving to those and the eternal hope, not just freedom in this life, but in the life to come, the hope of glory because of the grace of God, it's a choice for them. Let me share that choice. And sometimes people get mad. And Jesus said, don't be surprised. They hated me. If they hate me, they're going to hate my followers. Now, hear me very carefully on this. All right? why are they so angry? Why? So if somebody gets upset, and I'm not saying that you irritate them, you've got to sense the leadership of the Holy Spirit, but I would maybe ask them, why are you so angry? Do you believe in Christianity to be the truth? What do you think their answer would be? No. Those who are rejecting the Lord, is it because you believe that Jesus Christ is the truth, the way, and the life? And they would say, well, no. Well, then is it a fact or is it fiction? And if they would say, well, it's fiction, then I would say, well, why would you get so upset at something that's not true? Why would you get upset? If I told you that the moon was made out of cheese? See, you're already laughing. Would you get mad at me or feel sorry for me? If I genuinely, honestly believed that the moon was made out of cheese, you'd say, my goodness, he's a little off, right? But the reason why that the world gets angry is because even though they've rejected, there's a void in their life that God put there that can only be filled by Him, and deep down in their hearts, they know it to be so. I don't believe in atheists. Maybe I've offended somebody. You see, where does this end? This crazy, you offend me. My parents taught me, you know what? Toughen up. Right? What? You can't cry over what other people say. Is that what you are? What other people say? If you don't like what they say? My goodness. This whole idea, and forgive me, I'm not saying that there aren't mean people out there. But the truth is, there are mean people out there. This is something that just happened today. Cain was a mean person. He didn't like Abel, his own brother. Killed him. Paul was a mean person. The Apostle Paul, till God got a hold of him. May it not be said of you and I, listen, we're not trying to do anything unkind, but we are sharing the truth in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ that set us free. So here's what we're doing. Listen, may God give you and I the boldness to proclaim the truth and not back down. In love, not to get in an argument. You'll never argue anybody into heaven. But my goodness, I'm not going to be fearful of speaking the truth from the one who created me and gave me eternal life. By the grace of God. By the grace of God, because I remember Peter, and without the grace of God, I will deny the Lord. Let me just say that again. Listen, without the grace of God, your pastor will deny the Lord. See, I can't go out there and say, I know it to be true. I do. But I still need the grace of God. Just as I need the grace of God to walk in the Spirit. I can't do it by myself. I remember Peter. Do you remember Peter? Oh, Lord, do all these forsake you? Whoops. He made a mistake. Why? Because he was confident in himself, not in the Lord. Did he love the Lord? Absolutely. His confidence was in the wrong place. And so God has commissioned the church to be a witness to the world. In the Spirit of God, in the love of God. Listen, I don't wish any ill will on any human being that has rejected the Lord. I pray and wish that they would receive the Savior and experience and enjoy the same forgiveness, the same grace, the same love, the same hope. That's what I want them to have. Am I going to argue them into heaven? No. But at least give me the opportunity to present it as they present what I know is not true. We give them the freedom to present and to proclaim a message of doom. Evolution is a message of doom. It says you're a cosmic accident. By chance, it all happened. And after that, that's the end of it. I don't believe that for a minute. I can't tell anybody else that, but I can't. But I know that. I don't think that. I know that. How do I know that? Because Jesus saved me and revealed His forgiveness to my life. It's not just this idea. It's an experience that I had. When I was born again, I have an existence now that I did not have before, just like I did when I was born physically. I know that I'm here. Now, there's some people that think they don't know that they're here. And that's somebody that I would feel sorry for. But I would tell you, just as I know that I'm here, I know I have eternal life because of the grace of God. And that's the price that was paid. And the Lord, notice verse 4 again, who gave Himself for our sins, and we'd all say amen, but He goes on, that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. That's the will of God for your life and mine. In case you ever wanted to know what the will of God was, it is to set you and I free from this present evil world, that we might stand out in contrast by the love and grace of God to it. Listen, I have no animosity and no ill will. Let me just say this, toward anybody that disagrees with the truth of God's word. It does get under my skin when I see the hypocrisy. The hypocrisy irritates me, all right? It does. But wait a minute, that's not an excuse for me either, because I need to be in the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ that I might feel sorry for them and love them. Now, they would not want me to say that to them. They'd say, don't feel sorry for me. Well, one day there's coming a day that they'll understand why. When they stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, confess Him as Lord, but then be condemned because they rejected Him. So you see, if we really rationalize what Christianity is all about, it's not hostile. It's not hostile. But what they don't like is that it's the light. And the light, when it shines on the darkness doesn't like it. And that's just the way that it works. But listen, God is the arbiter of truth. Not a human being. And we need to make the choice what we're going to stand on, and by His Spirit, not in our strength, because we'll make a mess of things and not be the light God wants us to be. Look at verse 5. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Isn't that good? Paul is saying, listen, remember what you've been given in the Lord Jesus Christ and glorify His name and praise His name and worship Him to be glory forever and ever to Him. Amen. Now watch this. Now he's going to disclose the problem. They were called into grace, but now they're removed far from Him. Notice what it says here in verse 6. He says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of God unto another gospel. That word marvel, when we say we marvel at something, it could be amazement, but it is too, but it's in a negative light. I am amazed in a negative way that you are removed. And then notice what he says to them in verse 7, which is not another gospel. So in case you ever wondered, there is no other gospel. What he's saying is it's different from the truth. It's another gospel, but it's not going to set you free. It's going to put you into bondage. So verse 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel. Well, we know what a perversion is. It is certainly a distortion of the original or the truth in this particular case. So he says that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. If there's anyone that teaches it's not of grace, that is a perversion. They may put the name Christ in there, but it is a perversion of the truth. Listen, if somebody tells you, is somebody really saved that tells you they can lose their salvation? Is that the gospel, or is that a perversion of the truth? It's a perversion. Can they be saved? No. They can if they trust the truth, but believing that, they'll never come to salvation. Because what they're saying is Jesus Christ dying on the cross was not enough. I've got to do something, and I might do something that would cause me to lose it. And that's saying Jesus Christ on the cross was not enough. So Paul is saying to these believers that had walked in the truth, that now had veered 180 degrees in the wrong direction, what's going on here? You've been called into grace. Look at verse 8. He says, but the we, that's important. He's put apostles. The we or an angel from heaven. Be careful about angels, because there are fallen ones. But the we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That's pretty powerful. Paul says, if you ever hear me tell you that you can lose your salvation, God says, I'm cursed. And I agree with that. May I never preach that and teach that. I've gone off track somewhere. And so he's saying, let him be accursed. And notice verse 9. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach another gospel, you think he's wanting to get the point across? If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Twice he's mentioning that. So he says, remember the grace. Now, in verse 10, we see the servant of Christ. For do I now persuade men or God? Who am I trying to persuade? Or do I now seek to please men? Who am I looking to please? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Wow. Listen, this is dangerous to say, well, if you were a Christian, this is what you would do and this is what you would not do. And they'll start listing you, giving you a list. Be careful. Be careful. We should be bearing fruit of the Spirit. We should be. But don't hinge that on salvation. That's dangerous. A healthy child of God should be bearing fruit, but your salvation is not based on works. There are people that would say, and I'm forgive me if I've been guilty of this, hey, if you're a real saved child of God, this is what you should be doing and this is what you won't be doing. Oh boy. Oh boy. We're not looking at the grace of God right there. Now, is it possible that a child of God born again could not walk in right fellowship with the Lord? Do they lose their salvation? No. But why? Why? Because of the grace of God. So don't tell me, listen, well, if you were a child of God, you wouldn't be denying the Lord. Peter? If you denied the Lord, or wait a minute, if you're a child of God, you won't go fishing on the Lord's day. Peter? Isn't that the truth? Now, should we go fishing on the Lord's day? No, we should be in God's house on the Lord's day. But I'm not going to tell you, and I should not tell you, that if you were really a child of God, you would not be all right. You wouldn't do that. Oh my goodness, look at the Bible and look at all the things that are happening, and they're saved children of God. I would dare say, if you were a child of God, you wouldn't be committing murder, and David did, wouldn't be committing adultery. I'm not excusing this. What I'm saying is be careful that we don't bring works into salvation, because when we say a child of God, we're talking about the grace of God. And we're putting works, listen, we're putting works into that. And I believe there are well-intended people that do not even realize they're perverting the truth. Listen, that's the best place to be in right fellowship with the Lord, and He'll do that in through our lives, and we'll be right with the Lord. But be careful that we don't pervert the gospel message. Nobody likes to see a child of God out of fellowship. Man. And we don't want to be deceptive. We don't want to deceive ourselves in our relationship with the Lord. We want to be honest with God, don't we? Listen, do you not know you yourself when you're right with God and when you're not right with God? Do you not know that? Do you want to deceive yourself? This preacher, he told me himself. He was joking, I'm sure. I hope. And he told me in Florida, he named his boat Visitation. Where's the preacher? Well, he's out on visitation. Now, that's not being honest, is it? There's a little deception in that. But we do more harm when we deceive ourselves if it's not right. And here's the truth. We know when things aren't right. And God's not wanting us to strengthen ourselves in our strength. He's wanting us to say, oh God, I need you. And here's the truth. That's repentance. Lord, I'm sorry. Why? Because you have already given me what I need to walk in deliverance, to walk in your victory, to walk in God's victory, your victory. So I don't have to have it. I have to repent of the error of my way and my sin. And then by faith, God's already done the work. And he says, put off the old man and put on the new one. And walk in that. So we can be removed from him that called us and still be a child of God. Were the Galatians children of God? But they were far removed and they were being troubled by people and confounded by people that were telling them they had to do things. Well, if you were really a child of God, you'd keep the law that they themselves can't even keep. But the grace of God will supersede the law through the love of God. That's the power of God. And then you know what we'll do? We'll worship the Lord and say, only God could do that in our lives. Look at verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the, notice, revelation of Jesus Christ. Listen, that word revelation, revealed, is critical. We have yet to receive, listen, God wants to give you and I a greater revelation of what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just on Sundays. Every day we open up the Word of God. God wants to reveal more truth. And remember, God's an infinite God. You cannot approach this book like a textbook. Because the difference in this book and every textbook is that this book is God-breathed and alive. If you look at it for the surface story, the context, you'll miss the application that God wants to bring into your life. You'll miss the spiritual understanding that, and the truths that set us free, that bring rejoicing and peace and the love of God. And that's why we can look at the same verse, if that's ever happened to you, and all of a sudden you get another application or you get another truth out of it. Notice verse 13, for ye have heard of my conversation in time past, his lifestyle in the Jews, religion, how beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. And profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Then there was a change, wasn't there? To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again into Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Listen, he was getting a revelation from the Lord for 3 years. Hear something very carefully here. He said, but when it pleased God who separated me, in verse 15, from my mother's womb and called me how? By his grace. We're not apostles, but have you and I been called by his grace? And what was the purpose of that? That he called us by his grace. What does it say there in verse 16? To reveal his son in me. God wants to reveal his son in your life and mine. Not by our power or by our might, but by the Lord. To reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. He said immediately, this was not natural, but supernatural. See, you and I have been given a supernatural birth that requires, in order for it to flourish, the supernatural power of God. You're alive, you'll never lose that. But if you want to move forward and if you want to thrive, you've got to, Lord, you've promised to change me. I'm going to walk in that truth. That's faith. That's faith. Sometimes we don't feel that way. Should we go by our feelings? Why not? Because that's not faith, is it? That's our understanding. So what are we going to believe this morning as a child of God? His word or how we feel? Or what the world is saying? Listen, our nation needs revival. Yeah, it does. Well, preacher, you better get revived. Huh? Somebody else out there better get revived. Listen, hear me carefully. The blood of those aborted babies are on our hands because it's our nation that God has placed us in, regardless where it goes. You remember Nehemiah? He was a cupbearer. He was not involved in the sins of Israel. And he said, oh God, forgive us. We have sinned against you. We are responsible and accountable. And if we don't see that, revival will never come. If we just think everything's all right, you need to look around. And we are in a desperate need to call unto the Lord for forgiveness as a nation. And that you would redeem the lost. And that we would cry out to God that he might be revealed in my life to be the witness in my realm. Do you think God's people are asking for that? We've been on a downward spiral. Call it gradual if you will. It's leaps and bounds for many, many, many years. Many, many, many years. Decades. How about that? Decades. My lifetime. From the time of my youth till today, we've gotten worse, not better, as a society. And until we see that we need the Lord as a nation, we won't call on Him. We won't call on Him. And you and I have the truth and the understanding. And if we won't call, who will? If we won't call, who will? Let me remind you very quickly. There was a fellow that I used to work with in a clean room. He was a computer engineer. Come in and make different polymers and components and things of that nature. And he was very foul-mouthed. And he did not like Christians. And he did not like, he let it be known, all the nations that start with I ought to just be done away with. Iraq, Israel. You still listen to say all that. And they're ones for whom Christ died. And God spoke to me, listen, and almost every other word out of his mouth was a four-letter word. And that was not our company policy. We were not supposed to have that kind of language. But nobody was firing. I wasn't going to run to HR. Because my superiors heard them, and they did nothing about it. But God spoke to me about his salvation. I was the only one in the clean room, and he was just stepping in. I knew he was going to be there for about an hour. And I want you to know something. This is how it went. Ready? God was speaking to my heart to share the gospel. Did you think I was, oh boy, I can't wait. You think that's where I was at? Am I hearing that right? I don't think so, Lord. You know who that is. And I finally mustered up the gumption to say, Rick, what would you think of me if I had the cure to cancer and did not tell anybody? And he knew I was a believer in Christ because I was pastoring back then. I was bivocational at that time, and they knew. And he said, I think you'd probably be the lowest, lousiest person on planet Earth. I said, I'm so glad you said that. Because even more important than the answer to cancer is eternal life, because that's forever. And I said, if you don't mind, Rick, I'd like to share with you how you yourself can know when you leave this life, you have eternal life. And I was shocked that he was shocked. And he was just listening. He just froze and just stood there. And I went down through the plan of salvation. And I said, Rick, you could know the Lord right now if you'd like. And he said this to me. He said, you know, I want to thank you for sharing that with me. I'll give that some thought, but I'm not ready to do that right now. I never heard one foul word out of his mouth. And he actually thanked me. Do you know why? Because that witness was not of me. It was God doing that. And may I tell you, I rejoiced because I thought I was going to get blown away. I said, Lord, okay. Doesn't make any sense to me. But if you want me to get chewed up and spit out. And God surprised me. I walked out of there rejoicing that he listened. And he even said thank you. To this day, I've lost connection with him. I don't know. I wasn't friends with him. But God said, through you, I want him to hear the truth. I pray that he's gotten saved. I don't know. It's been many years ago. But do you know that God wants to use every one of us? But we won't do that if all we believe about ourselves is ourselves and not God. God wants to turn this world upside down if we'll look to his word. If we look to ourselves, here's what we'll say. It's just a sign of the times. God, after all, said it was going to be very wicked in the end days, but that doesn't mean that he didn't want souls being saved. But he did question, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith to believe him? To reach out with the love of God to those who are confused about what they think is a happy lifestyle. And with the love of God, reach out to them and God get their attention and speak to their heart just like he spoke to your heart and mine the day we got saved. Are you so soon removed from the grace that has called you? God says, look to where the path is that God wants us to walk and follow him. You don't have to blaze a trail. He's making it in your life and mine if we'll have it. Would you stand with me? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. And Lord, you died that it might prevail in our lives to be a witness to the world for your honor and glory. Call that to our minds, Lord. And may we not excuse ourselves from allowing you to use us to be your lights in this world. Bless the invitation, Lord. If there's anyone that knows you not as Savior, I pray that you'd help them and speak to them, Lord, to see that need and trust you today. But Lord, for those of you, us who know you as our Savior, where are we, Lord, in our walk with you? Are you truly fulfilling your will as you've called it to be done in our lives? And if not, may we call upon you, either right there where we stand, or may we seek an altar, Lord, and call upon you and cry out for mercy, Lord, not just for us, but for our nation. Bless the invitation, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.